I believe it is Mike and Mike off-air podcast number 33. Mike O'Neill right here.
Mike Pesto over here. And get that sheets again.
I can't remember my name at this point, Michael.
My challenge to you at some point during this run is to come in when it's your week to kind of lead the big conversation that we have and have nothing in front of you. Just go off. Let's see. Unscripted Mike O'Neill.
As long as I don't have to remember song titles, which you'll see will be relative here in just a moment.
All right, so a couple things I want to get into quickly before we get to that. One has to do with what today happens to be if you're actually listening on the day or watching if you're watching on YouTube on the day we actually put this together. But first, I don't know if you saw this. Big news from the owners, operators of Dollar Tree. Did you hear about this the other day?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's...
I'll take ironic names for 200, Mike Pesto.
And I haven't heard of Dollar General is having the same issues, but whenever you have dollar in the name of your store, you got to have things in your store that only cost a dollar. Not so much anymore. In fact, they've announced that at Dollar Tree specifically... the highest you'll pay for anything there went from $5, and it jumped to $5 just last summer, to now $7. And I forget what the minimum is, but it's well above a buck.
That's because the Dollar Tree grew, Mike. It got real big.
Yeah, I wish that was the reason. So I don't know if you saw it. I threw this up on Facebook a couple days ago. I doctored up a new sign. In fact, I'm going to show it to you. That you can actually see it. Mike's actually looking at it right now. If you go to our station's Facebook page, so you can see the Dollar Tree, which is always in green because it's dollar green. So I put a 7 over the dollar and put an S at the end of the R. So it's $7 tree now.
Yeah.
Here's my solution to this. One, you got to take the dollar thing out of there. What you seriously need to do is let's get ahead of the curve. Everything under 10 bucks store, including tax.
Which is good because that's like calling it relative to its time, the five and dime store, which made sense back then because that's what you paid. You paid between 5, 10, and 25 cents at the five and dime store for most of the stuff you're going after.
See, but even there, that's false advertising because you just said 5 and 10, but it went up to 25 cents.
Well...
so even back then, they were lying to us.
Everything goes up all the time. But no, the under $10 store would be good. But you know what would be really funny is to put a date on that, come back, and see when we hit 20 and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, make sure the sign is an LED as opposed to an actual hard sign. Here's the other thing I wish that all stores would do, including Walmarts and Targets and places like that. Can you just give me one aisle? One aisle where everything in that aisle is made in the USA. Just, there's not much anymore. But just put everything that's made in the USA down one aisle. And just call it the patriotic aisle, whatever you want to call it. That way, for those of us that matters to, and I'm one of them, I will pay $2 more for a pair of scissors made in the USA or a box of paper clips made in the USA. It matters to me, so give me that aisle.
Yeah, but the guy who makes the merchandising is like, nope. Scissors go with art supplies. Rulers there. Wood over here. I get why you want it like that, though. Or maybe just put the American flag on them or make it obvious that it's made in America.
Well,
would that work
problem.
For you?
And this goes back to when I first started this bent was years ago after 9/11 and American flags were everywhere. I went to buy one, and then I looked a little bit closer at it, made in China. And I'm like, how can you have an American flag made in China? I mean, we got a trade deficit with them as it is. So ever since then, that's when I started my kick of whenever I can, I will always buy made in America first. If I can't find that, I will stay away from made in China. Nothing against the Chinese. It's just we have a huge trade deficit with them. So the only way that we can kind of stop that is we as consumers need to jump up and do something about it.
Well, I like that. It'd be interesting to see if anybody ever comes up with that. Well, I'm going to take us in a specific direction if I can.
Yeah.
It occurs to me, I have a wedding business and I am ramping down. I'm almost done. I'm kind of excited about it. And I was sitting talking with my wife the other day and we were just going over some memories, not just things I've seen, but I mean, our daughter's wedding, which was in 2020, our own wedding, which was 100,000 years ago, just feels that way, 32 years ago. And you, of course, are married. You've been to friends and family's weddings. I'm going to call this memorable, fun, interesting, or shocking things you've seen at weddings. And I've got a couple.
All right.
So
I would imagine you've been to and done, I would say, probably at least 1,000 more weddings than I'll.
Oh, at least. Keep in mind, I've done, I was doing an average of 50 to 60 weddings a year since about 1980. So, yeah, I've seen a couple. And that ramped down with COVID, and that's when I was like, staying home on Saturday. I kind of like this. And I've been trying to make that a thing. But don't worry, my last three weddings this season, I'll be there. But some crazy, crazy things, Mike. I mean, I'm going to save my favorite for last.
Well, I hope so.
But, you know, the garter, right? The guy removes the garter, the garter toss, right? And a lot of times the DJ will play a fun or funny song, depending on the natures of the bride and groom. It'll be body or less body. But I had this one guy, this one groom, and he wasn't necessarily the most intelligent groom. But anyway, he thought it was going to be just an absolute scream if I played, I can't remember who it's by, Cherry Pie.
Oh, Warrant.
Warrant's song, Cherry Pie, at the moment of removal. He thought that was a scream. Okay, for those of you that don't remember the chorus, she's my cherry pie. Cool drink of water, such a sweet surprise. You're getting married. How much of a surprise?
Well, that's funny. I would assume you already are after the garter.
Tastes so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet Perry cherry pie. Oh, yeah. Really? When you were struggling over your vows, is this where you were going? If not, what are you doing?
Now,
I had to do it.
When they talked with you about that ahead of time, because you're the one who's playing that song.
Yes.
Did you look at the bride-to-be at that point to gauge her reaction to that?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And what was her reaction to it?
I'll answer the question. Keep in mind, as at Mike O'Neill's Dance Machine, I had a firm policy, your way or the highway. I will make it. I will get inside your head. You will let me know exactly what you want, and we will execute it as if that's the only way weddings get done. Now, given that, I still know what I've seen and have an idea what could cause problems. So I literally did tell the groom, I said, hey, I'm not sure that's going to have the desired reaction you want. She was fine with it.
Uh-huh.
But sure as heck, when I played it, half the room looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And I was allowed to because I told him I was going to point right at the groom.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yep, it was me. And it was what it was. And then they threw the garter and we got past it. But I knew that that wasn't going to be the moment that he expected. I had another like that, only for the maid of honor. You know the big intro, the grand introduction? You've seen the ones, everything from big, crazy choreographed dances to just the simple. What we do most often is if we have four guys, four gals, I'll try to edit a hook for each one of them.
Okay.
We'll do a little research, and it'll be fun. You know, it'll just be a quick hook. Well, the bride thought for her maid of honor, her best friend in the world, the song she would have for her would be Carrie Underwood's I Don't Even Know My Last Name.
Okay.
And if you remember that song, Oh My Mama Would Be So Ashamed, it started off, hey cutie, where are you from? And then it turned into, oh no, what have I done? And I don't even know my last name. And I said, you're basically calling your maid of honor a slut, if you will. Oh, no, no, it'll be funny. Mary, no. Her name wasn't Mary, by the way. Mary, no, because I'm not going to get in trouble. No, it's not going to be precise. I will do it if you want me to, because I told you I'd do whatever you want. Oh, no, it's going to be funny. And I knew it wouldn't. And oh, my good God, it was not. I hit it, and all 200 people, especially her mother, turned and looked at me, and I turned and I pointed right at the bride, and the bride put her arms up like, yup, it was me. So I got out of trouble, but it was a stinker of a moment. It's like, dude, you just, oh. Some other things I've seen. I've actually seen the officiant get the groom or bride's name wrong.
Oh, wow.
You'd think that would be the one thing they wouldn't screw up for sure, right?
I have that written on a 3x5, I would think.
Well, I've seen, yeah, anyway, I've seen that, and that's always been something that freaks me out. I guess all kinds of drunken stuff. You wouldn't be surprised at that. Fights, the event's too long. We have a joke in me and my assistants over the years. If it goes, the dance goes longer than 3 or 4 hours, it's drunk 30.
Oh, yeah.
That's what time it is now. It's drunk 30. Because now, here's where it's going to get cuckoo. Because they've been here too long.
Now, do you look into the crowd and say, all right, I think it's going to be Uncle Steve over there?
Oh, I know immediately.
Or Cousin Dave. I mean, can you see it coming an hour or so before it happens?
Well, yeah, because the people that are the ones that are getting in trouble are the loudest and the most visible.
Okay. Let's do shots! Ah!
Oh, there they are. Oh, only the third time before the toast. Awesome. That's going to be fun if he can find his butt with either hand when we get there. And so, you know, it gets too long. So if we get to a point where, hey, can we go another hour? Yeah, Mike, we could go another hour if you want. But 5 or 6 of your guys are almost falling down now. And I'll do what you like, but I promise you, fights will arise and somebody's going to have trouble getting out of here. Uh-huh. It's up to you. And then they'll think about it and then we'll go or we won't.
Okay.
But that's just experience doing it. This is one of my favorite unfavorites. This was this was at I forget the name of the venue, but it was across the street from the sheriff's substation in Solvang, San Ynez. Guy was so drunk because we were there 12 hours, Michael. I got paid $1 million, but we were there 12 hours. He was so drunk he fell down and hit his head on the keg. And from this event came a line I've used over the years because I thought it was funny, uh-huh. But it's also true. An ambulance will halt your wedding reception. Because that's what happened. Pulls in, and in come the thing. In come the guys. Or, you know, that takes 15 minutes for them to get it. And everybody leaves. And
I would think that'd be a good sign for everybody else to leave.
Yeah, it's like, peace out. This is over, guys. But so I've always said, yeah, an ambulance will halt your wedding reception. Meaning we shouldn't get to this. Let's slow down. On a positive side, some of the favorite things I've seen. I love the times when I've been able to put a father's message looped over the intro of her father-daughter song.
Okay.
And hey, nickname of my daughter. In my daughter's case, hey, Bells, it's Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately your daughter just... And she's holding on to you for dear life. And those are so special. And I've seen it the other way, where the bride, hey, Dad,
mm-hmm.
it's me. And Dad almost falls over. And it's just, it's so incredible. And that's the best way to do it, because for guys like me, I'm a mush. I'd be like, hey, I'm done. Just, that's it. But being able to produce in advance allows you to have the maximum value, and you can hug and hold on to her and really dance and really enjoy it. So that's a really cool thing that I recommend. And as I said earlier for the grand introduction, a song hook for each wedding member. It's just simple. It's custom. It's even if I do the same thing 7 Saturdays in a row, the songs are all different, so it's not the same.
Yeah.
It appears to be completely different. Exact same concept, but it comes off uniquely each time because, you know, I'm a Dodger. I'm a Star Wars fan, so I came in and that's not going to happen at the next wedding. So those are really cool.
Now, I know for the longest time, and I don't know if it's still popular or not, I haven't seen many videos with it, but the whole bridal party having a song that they have a choreographed dance to, was that a craze that is out now? How much of that did you ever see?
I don't see as much of that.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. That was the original, okay. Forever by Chris Brown. And there were other ones you just reminded me of something that happened at one of my weddings, and it was viewed over 1 million times and is still on. The sister of one of my brides, I went 3 deep in this family, 3 different daughters in Hanford did these weddings. But this particular bride, her toast ended with a rap.
Okay.
And it was so good. It was so good. It was still a white girl rap, but it was so good and so well executed. It was her and her 2 sisters. And it was it has a million views. It was really, really, really cool. And I forget what the song was. It was a this is why I write things down. It was a very popular song, but. See, she just nailed it.
See, but
it.
You don't need to know that to appreciate the story.
So no, but it was
you
wonderful.
You didn't have to have it.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Now, that's a positive on the toast. I want to ask you about that, too. Do you have any on your sheet, or can you recall any toasts that went horribly wrong?
Oh, bunches of
stories.
Them. I don't know a specific off the top of my head, but it's always drunkenness.
Uh-huh.
And people lose their appropriate their boundaries are no longer in check. I remember this, and it always starts that way. I remember this one time. Oh, God, help us. Where's the mic switch? And then they remember something inappropriate in front of mom, which is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
You know, remember the one time, it ends with Tijuana and a donkey, and it's at the damn wedding. You know what I mean? It's those kind of texts.
I want to tell you, I may have told you this before. If I have it, if it sounds familiar, stop me. But the toast my dad gave, because my dad was my best man.
Nice.
And I would not have it any other way. If for anyone who's going to be getting married at some point, I would seriously consider doing that. Because honestly, first of all, who knows you better?
Right.
If you've had a great relationship with your dad, or at least is by the time you get married. And he has some stories.
And now, his dad's going to raise you up, not take you down.
Well.
Usually.
You say that.
See, how'd it go?
We found out very early on in the engagement process that my wife and I have a common last name. My wife is 100% Sicilian. I'm half Italian. And there is a difference between Sicilian and Italian. But my mother-in-law's maiden name was Campo. My grandma's maiden name is Campo.
Nice.
And my grandmother actually was half Sicilian. So I'm a quarter Sicilian. So we jokingly would, in fact, when we had to sit down with the priest, and one of the things that they ask you is, are you two related? It is a question that is asked in the Catholic faith. And we say, funny story, so you're supposed to say no. I'm like, we know, but there's a slight possibility because it's not all that uncommon of a last name, but we haven't done any digging into it, but maybe like fifth, sixth, but nothing close. Like first or second cousins? No, absolutely not. Well, then you guys are fine. We told my dad that story. So he did the whole speech.
No.
And at the end, he said, well, I got you both a present.
Oh, good Lord.
So if you could both reach underneath the table, he duct taped T-shirts of us, our engagement photos, and it said, Kissin' Cousins.
Oh,
and we hold them up to everyone. My wife and I had no idea. And most of the people there had no idea. It was definitely an inside joke that as people came to us later and asked what was the whole Kissin' Cousins thing about,
right.
We would tell them the story. I would imagine that's something that you may have maybe discouraged him from saying. It went over like you wouldn't believe, as far as those who knew about it. Because
yeah.
We appreciated how funny that was. I would imagine some of the older members of my wife's side of the family, maybe not so much.
Well, you know... The heck with them if they can't take a joke, Michael.
And I still have the T-shirt.
Well, yeah, you will. Don't let that one get running. A couple of other funny things we would do from time to time is for the garter. I was always a big fan of this, but it had to be the right bride and groom in the right room and the right family. Uh-huh. So the DJ booth is where the DJ booth is. I would make sure that the bride's back was to the group.
Okay.
And they were basically, how did I do this? Right up. No, other way around.
So she's facing
everyone. She has to be, so the groom has to be very careful with the dress so as not to flash
gotcha.
The dress. But he's right up against my booth. And so, okay, now I'm going to go get the garter. Now the song's playing. He reaches into the dress, but unbeknownst to everybody else, right back through the dress and into my booth and grabs a plunger and brings it right back out as if appearing to pull it out of the dress. What the what? And then reaches back in and pulls out a pair of size 79 girls' chonies and four or five other things before getting the garter. And it just makes the best – it's just funny as heck. But it has to be the right room.
I mean, I would imagine. That's one where you definitely want to make sure – now, your dad knows we're going to do this,
right?
Right?
That's what you do. And the other one is something I call the key trick. I've only done it 6 times, but oh my God, in the right room, it's so perfect. So it's you and Seska's wedding, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, we're about to do the toast. But before we do, Mike, before I hand the mic off, I think it's really, and it's got to be the right bride and groom in the right room. I think it's really important to make sure, Michael, that, I mean, this is the day. You guys, you just did it. You just got married. It's a new direction. What a wonderful day. Let's just make sure that all vestiges of the past have been gotten rid of. Let's just make sure that no one else here in the room still has one of Mike's apartment keys, okay?
Oh,
we're just going to make sure of that, okay? So, again, before we hand the mic off, best man, you're ready? Good. Before we do that, does anyone else happen to still have, we'll just bring it up here, and I've handed out 30 blank keys to, like, every different kind of person you could think of in the room.
Uh-huh.
And they all slowly and very embarrassingly walk up one slowly at a time.
Wow.
It takes 10 minutes the uh-huh. time. And then you think it's done. And then I always find the oldest waitress in the room brings up the last one. She's working for the place. Mike doesn't, you don't even know her.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, now we can do the toast. And it usually gets a pretty good laugh.
Have you ever had anyone put on a scuba mask and snorkel?
No, but I understand the humor.
My cousin did that at his wedding. I don't know how many people knew. She knew. I don't know how many other people in the room knew he was going to do that.
Lord.
But it was like, oh.
That's a visual.
That's, again, something you want to clear with the father-in-law ahead of time.
Yeah. We're married now, Dad. It's okay. No, that's pretty crazy. And I saved the best for last, Michael.
All right.
The very best, and this was a complete accident. The wedding part, the bridesmaids were best friends since the womb, all of them. Okay, and they were ready for the flower, the bouquet toss. They were all going for it.
Uh-huh.
God help all y'all. We're going for it, and anybody else that was going to get involved knew that they could very well take an elbow from one of the girls. So they're out there, and here it comes. And if you can picture it, it's, you know, the typical line of the girls
yeah.
and the brides all the way over here throwing it. Well, over here in right field, if you're facing the line, over here in right field, this bridesmaid right here, the bride sort of tossed it to the left of there, to the left of center, and this gal just, whoom, out of the starting up. She is hauling butt, running in the air. It's right about where the bride is, and she gets the bouquet and the bride's dress and pulls it to the floor.
No.
To the floor. It's the only time I've ever seen anything like that. It didn't last long, but it's the only time I've ever seen anything like that. The bride pulls the dress up and says, well, nothing those girls haven't seen before. And off we went into the rest of the night like it was absolutely nothing. I couldn't believe it. Say, well, you're a lot tougher than I would have been. I would have turned 18 shades of red and run off.
Now, again, you've been a part of, done, been to 1,000-plus more weddings than I will ever go to. This doesn't beat that per se, but it did involve my wife.
Uh-oh.
So it was on one of the trips that she came out to visit me. When I first moved to Illinois, my wife and I broke up. She didn't think, living her whole life in California, she could ever live in Illinois, where I was living, middle of the state at the time. So I talked her into coming out for a visit, and she did, and she left. And then she came back a second time, and just so happened during that second time, that cousin, who did the whole snorkel mask thing, was getting married. And she, at that point, still wasn't sure if this was a relationship she wanted to pursue. She was, I think in her mind, she was trying to let me down gently.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the wedding, and I talked her into being in the group to get the bouquet.
Right.
So she got on the dance floor, but she was as far away from them as possible. Bride tossed it up, hit the ceiling fan, caromed over everybody else because of that, and landed right in her hands. She didn't want any part of that. But got it and still has it.
Well, God bless her for not doing something that sometimes guys do that just makes me so angry. A lot of times on the garter, the guy will throw it, and like there's only three or five of the guys out there, they'll just stand there and watch it hit the ground. And be like, well, I'm just too cool to grab that. I'm like, oh, I didn't like
it. Well, then they know what it represents. They don't want any part of that yet.
But still, pick it up and go hug the guy, for God's sakes. Anyway, that's quite a story. She still has that one,
She still has it, yeah.
Well, I think that is about all of my stories that I can possibly remember. Our wedding was wonderful. I mean, there was only 80-something of us.
Okay.
It's wild that a wedding reception of 80 people would last almost 7 hours.
Hmm.
But my wife's family dance. Oh, my God, do they dance. So, yeah, it lasted. So I was blessed. I was able to tell my mother-in-law, you provided a party that I will remember forever, and it's one of the best weddings I've ever been to. And, yes, given what I do for a living, was able to tell her that. And it sounds like you have the same feeling and sentiment.
Yeah, and again, still have that T-shirt, too. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. And by the way, I didn't mention this earlier on, but please do watch, subscribe, smash the bell for alerts on our YouTube channel. We're putting more content up there all the time, and we may be getting some other stuff on there, too. So My97.5 on YouTube if you haven't checked it out yet.
And guys, if your wedding is coming up soon, please, no more cherry pie.